Okay, turn your Bibles tonight to Hebrews chapter 1. Of course, the book of Hebrews is written to professed Jewish believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amongst them would be those who only who profess Christ, as some were considering turning back to Judaism, away from Christ. And as we look at the book of Hebrews, we begin from the very beginning. Without an introduction of to this book, but immediately giving the main, hitting the main theme of the book. And it is certainly immediately gives us reasons why to listen and to heed the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter number 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. Now, if we look at the Gospels, it's interesting, there's a number of parables that kind of set a picture of this. Matthew chapter 21 gives us this picture. Matthew chapter 21. Verse 33. Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard, and hedged it round about, and digged a winepress in it, and built a tower, and let it out to husbandmen, and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen, that they might receive the fruit of it. And the husbandmen took his servants, and beat one, and killed another, and stoned another. Again he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent unto them his Son, saying, they will reverence my Son. But when the husbandmen saw the Son, they said among themselves, this is the heir, come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. When the Lord, therefore, of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? They say, he will miserably destroy those wicked men and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render unto him the fruits in their seasons. And Jesus said unto them, did ye never read in the Scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and is marvelous in our eyes. Of course, we have Mark chapter 12. Again, we have this same inference and a parable. And the emphasis, again, is verse number 6. Having yet therefore one son is well beloved, he sent him also last unto them, saying, they will reverence my son. But those husbandmen said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance shall be ours. And so we see this parallel. Of course, the servants, the Bible has told us that that what Jesus said about his the prophets, his servants. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 37. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered my children together, even as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings, and ye would not. Now we have almost that same introduction to the book of Hebrews. We have the Jewish people who are proudly boasting of their faith in the prophets and of their faith in the Old Testament scriptures and their belief in the God of the Old Testament. And yet the Lord Jesus has pictured the people of Israel as a people who have killed the prophets. And in the parable, of course, the parable was directed towards them and directed towards them as the servants of God, as the husbandmen, the vineyard representing the nation of Israel, the people of God, and their attitude about those who came to give account to God concerning their conduct. But yet the author of Hebrews here is taking that picture of the professed faith of the Jewish people in the prophets and in the Old Testament scriptures and their lifting up of those men and the Word of God. And now he is comparing the Old Testament scripture and the Old Testament prophets, and the word that God gave to them, he's comparing it to the word of the Lord Jesus. He's comparing it to the servants who at many different times gave different portions of the scripture. The word of God was given little bit by little bit. And it was separated by many times hundreds of years. Of course, all the Old Testament was given in about 1,000 years from 1446. Really before that with Job, could almost go back to 1800. And 1800 to 400 B.C., 1,400 years in which the Old Testament was given. And then there was 400 silent years, but it was only given a little bit at a time. And the author of Hebrews is speaking of fact. But now, right now, there's someone that's far greater than all the prophets. There is something that's taken place that's far greater than the dreams and the visions of Ezekiel. And the dreams and visions given to Daniel. And the direct encounter with Moses on Mount Sinai. And when the law was given by angels. There's something much more significant that's taken place. What is it? The Son of God. The parable said, the father said, certainly they'll reverence my son. The parable said the man had one son. His only son. And he's going to send his son now Certainly they'll reverence my son, my beloved son. And here we have the scene set for the book of Hebrews with this remarkable picture of someone who is far, far, far greater than any of the prophets. We have the beloved Son. Now, you know what it does? It kind of sets the scene of responsibility for you and I. Because it was setting the scene for the people of Israel who supposedly revered the prophets, certainly revered Moses, certainly they revered the Old Testament scriptures, and yet there was someone who is coming whose message is far more significant in the fact of the person delivering it. It's the Son. And so we might say there's a double authority. You know how it goes. You know, dad says to one of the older kids, you know, go tell, you know, so and so, you know, don't do that. And, you know, the younger child kind of thinks lightly of it, doesn't he? Because even though it's the message from dad, it's carried, you know, by, you know, a sibling, an equal. And they dismiss it. And now, here we have this same kind of picture. Not only do we have the message, but we have the message delivered by the very Son of God. And the answer is, the emphasis, better take heed, better listen, better pay attention. This is very serious. If you think you listen to the Old Testament prophets, you better listen twice as hard now. Now, let's just put that in context. Is that how we think? Do we see ourselves in a privileged position? The Word of God, not merely given by dreams and by visions and through men, but we have the Word of God having been delivered by the very Son of God. Now, if you look at the text there, it says this. God, who at sundry times and divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. And boy, that was a long time ago. Because they hadn't heard from God for 400 years. From Malachi to John the Baptist was 400 years. It's called the 400 silent years. The giving of the Old Testament was a long time ago in one respect. Of course, 400 years in the Middle East is not very long. But for us, it's quite a long time. But then it says, "And but hath in these last days." And of course, this is a messianic phrase. In these last days. And it's sometimes hard for us to comprehend, but in the Scripture, the last days began with the sending of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a whole host of history between Adam and the Lord. And now, in the end of time, God has sent His Son. And when we look at the Scripture that way, we need to recognize that, in one sense of the word, we're living in borrowed time. It's not as though life is just going to go on and on and on and on and on. But the Lord is coming back. There's a sense of urgency here that the beginning of the last days have begun with the coming of the Son of Man. Of course, that phrase, the end of the days, number of times in the Scriptures. Acts 2:16-17, James 5:3, 1 Peter 1:20, 2 Peter 3:3, Jude 18, 1 John 2:18. These are the end of the days, and that phrase in the Old Testament spoke of the messianic times, and we'll come back to that maybe. But I'd like us to just think in a moment about the Lord speaking to us through His Son. And I'd like to just think about a couple things about the Lord and His speaking to us. Turn with me to Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5. The Son hath spoken to us in these last days. Matthew chapter 5. We see that very significant phrase. It's found many times on here. It says, for instance, verse 31, it hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her writing a divorcement. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery. Notice it said, it has been said, Old Testament scriptures. But notice what he says, but I say unto you. Notice what he says, verse number 38. You have heard that it had been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for tooth. But I say unto you that you resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him also the other also. Notice the standard. It hath been said, Old Testament prophets. And then we have a higher standard. But I say unto you. And of course, for those who'd like to dismiss the Old Testament, may we take what the Lord says. He is saying, I say unto you that we ought to keep the spirit of the law. Moses said, keep the letter of the law. He says, I say unto you a higher standard, keep the spirit of the law. He said, it hath been said, thou shalt not commit adultery. And I say unto you, if a man look, a higher standard. He says, the prophet spake in old times. But in these last days, the Son has spoken unto us. Notice what it says in John chapter 17. Verse number 8. And his prayer to the Father Verse 7, now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. And they have received them, and I know surely that I come out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Notice he said, I've given them the words that I have spoken unto you. Of course, the modern thinking today is that the scriptures are only inspired conceptually. That means that only the concepts are inspired. The great intellectual Christian university, Wheaton College, for years now has denied verbal inspiration. And has for years now taught conceptual revelation, inspiration. And therefore, it's fine to have translations that are a dynamic equivalency, that just emphasize the thoughts. Now, but Jesus said, I've given them thy words. Notice a couple other thoughts. As we think about the words of the Lord Jesus, Matthew chapter 5, it says in verse 17, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. And think of that in light of the book of Hebrews. I've not come to destroy, but to fulfill. As Hebrews explains that Christ is the fulfillment of all the types of the Old Testament worship. And that he was necessarily needed to die. And that his blood was shed, and that the blood that was shed of bulls and calves and lambs was only a picture of his blood. I was also thinking about the words of the Lord and thinking the book of Hebrews. I was thinking of Mark chapter number 2. And as they questioned him about healing on the Sabbath day. And verse 27, he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Where do we have the inference in the teachings of the Lord Jesus? That all these pictures of the Old Testament and the worship of the Old Testament was all going to be fulfilled, and that the Jews would need to know and understand that Judaism was over. And if there's anything that represented Judaism, it was the Sabbath. It was the Sabbath. We also think of Luke chapter 4, verse 22. He began his ministry there in Nazareth. In the synagogue, he quoted Isaiah 61. Part of it stopped in the middle of the verse. He closed the book, verse 20, and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bear him witness and wondered, at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And the Bible says, in these last days has spoken unto us by his Son. And of course, the direct address there was to the Jewish people. But we are the people who have a completed New Testament. And somehow, being human as we are, we think that we are less accountable than the Old Testament people. Somehow we think as the sons of Korah were swallowed up, the earth opened up. Somehow we think, they got judgment. And of course, the writer, this is inferred later, how they received a just recompense or reward. And the inference is, if they received a just recompense or reward, who are given the word of God through men and through visions and dreams, and they were accountable, how much more us, who in these last days, to whom the Son of God has come, and a completed New Testament. I think there's the reasoning there as we go to the book of Hebrews that certainly ought to be applied to us. And if you're honest with yourself, perhaps you can identify with me and my humanness, that somehow we don't sense the privilege that we have of having the Son come, having the Word of God given to us. Of course, Christ having come and died and rose again. And may God help us to escape that illusion of our mind that somehow that we are less responsible than the Old Testament saints. Whereas the book of Hebrews is pointing out that, how much more ought we to pay attention? How much more ought we to be careful? How much more ought we listen to the Word of God in these last days, this day of privilege and this day of the greatness of our Savior. And so may as we hear the message given to the Hebrews, might we take moments and think about our responsibility. And certainly, young people, don't be falling asleep in these last days. Unto whom much is given, much is required. What a great privilege we have for a crucified and risen Savior. Think of what Paul said. We read how Paul said, and they reasoned. They said, you know what? We couldn't keep the Old Testament. We struggled under it. How would we want to put it under the Gentiles? What a great privilege that we have in this day. And may God give us a heart that takes the New Testament truth and says, you know, this is, in one sense of word, this is a higher level of revelation and a higher level of responsibility in this day in which we live. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for the truth of your word. May the sense of it stir our hearts. Lord, we are a people that grow fat in our privilege, and apathetic in our thinking, and we are selfish by nature, and we just glory in the benefits and think very little bit of our responsibility and our attitude. And I pray that in your grace and mercy you would stir us, Lord, to think and to sense the greatness of our privilege, the greatness of our responsibility to love you, to serve you, to listen to your word, and help us not to be like those who are constantly trying to dismiss the truth of your word and to diminish it and to deny it. But may, Lord, our hearts be such that we would sense what we ought to be for you. And may the word of God be quick and powerful in these days in our lives. Our heads are bowed and eyes closed. Maybe even tonight the Lord is speaking to you about the fact that you have become apathetic or nonchalant about this great privilege that we have of hearing the Son, knowing the Son, having His Word. And the Lord is speaking to you tonight. Just a matter of you wanting and seeking God to do a work in your life that that rather than being apathetic in this day of privilege in these last days, that you would sense anew and afresh the responsibility we have to live for Him and to hear His word and obey it more than ever before. Say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I believe God's speaking in my heart tonight, and I know that there's really a response I need to make. Anyone here, just by lifted hand, say, God has spoken my heart tonight. Okay. And Lord, thank you for your people, and may it be true, Lord, that the Spirit of God would cause us to have a sense of rightness before you, that we would not be like those people in the days of Christ that Christ painted the parable, spoke the parable against, who had no reverence for the Son, who regard for Him was not what it ought to be. May we reverence and regard you in this special way. In Jesus' name, amen.